Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
This is Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Rolene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Well, I'm not triskaidophobic, or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, there is a whole word for it. I tried to practice. It didn't go well, so I decided I'm dropping it.
Like I said, it's time for an Irish coffee without the coffee and the cream.
Exactly. All right. So first of all, let's just start off a little bit earlier. I was telling our listeners, JTA reporting the most bizarre story. And that is that a Greek newspaper has likened the Pfizer Jewish CEO with a Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele in a front page photo. What?
Well, first of all, we have to look at the newspaper. This newspaper has a history of promoting hatred towards Jews, and they do this through their very graphic headlines and their images. And they've launched a campaign against the CEO of Pfizer, as the brilliant Dr. Marburg, and I caught the tail end of that, announcing that incredible news about the vaccine this week. And the CEO of Pfizer is Greek. I mean, you would think they would be ecstatic and proud. I mean, Bibi's ecstatic and proud. He's been on the line to Albert Bourla. He's the Greek national who was born into a Jewish family, which makes him Jewish in the city of Thessaloniki, which has a very, very important historical background, because Thessaloniki had a thriving community that was unfortunately decimated during the Holocaust. And Bibi himself, you know, using a little bit of Jewish guilt, saying, you know, you're Jewish, I'm Jewish, I'm the head of the Jewish state, Greece is a great ally, you know, like, you know, can we get a deal working here with the vaccine?
Absolutely.
But you would think, I mean, there's nothing like Jewish guilt, Howard, to put the pressure on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We're masters of it. But this week, this newspaper has put a front page picture of him with Joseph Mengele, the infamous Nazi doctor at Auschwitz, who carried out those horrific experiments on the inmates, many of them undergoing the most appalling torture at the hand of this doctor, and they've put him as and called him a Greek Jew, and have said, and I don't know what the terminology trousered millions, if any of the listeners can, you know, help me out with trousered millions on behalf of the Israeli council. So here we have a whole lot of conspiracy theories popping up. You know, it's conspiring with the vaccine, you know, we've caused the virus, now we are creating the cure, you know, all those horrible conspiracy theories that we thought we'd put to bed in medieval times, now popping up at this time of all times.
It's just phenomenal that how anti-Semitism is just always going to be there, and there's almost the absurdity of this one is just on another whole level, and especially because this guy was fined a couple of months ago for his flagrant anti-Semitism, and he's simply back where he was. Just really incredible. So that is that crazy story. Where is Israel in terms of COVID, in terms of opening things up, gyms, malls, etc.?
Well, it has been a bit of a frustrating week. I mean, first we got the incredible news that we'll be opening up IKEA. Now, if you are Israeli or have ever lived in Israel, you will understand that IKEA is like, you know, it's a great cultural thing in this country. People go there after Shabbat has come out. They go to the restaurant. They go to IKEA for an outing. I mean,
yeah.
I don't understand.
When we were in Israel, I think one of our last trips there, and I was just thinking that we haven't obviously been there this year, which is quite terrible. But somebody said, "I hope you're going to spend some time at IKEA," and I said, "But what? It's apparently a thing."
It apparently is. I mean, I have not engaged in the great IKEA outing, but millions have. And there was the news that they would start opening departments this week. And, of course, a lot of discussion over which ones are more important than the others. So the health ministry stepped in and said, you're not going to open at all. And if you do, we're going to give you a big hefty fine. But on Sunday, the high street stores, which are the stores that are street facing, they opened up. And last night, a lot of discussion, which nobody can agree on, whether or not to open malls and gyms and restaurants. There are some elements within the government that want to put in a nighttime curfew. And, you know, we're trying to explain to them, you know, it's not like the virus only comes out at night, guys. You know, it's there during the day as well. And our numbers still holding steady and dropping, the amount of people who are in critical condition dropping. However, the concern is that in the Arab-Israeli communities, the statistics are increasing. So looking at solutions to try and stem the spread of this virus, and Netanyahu boasting yesterday to his coronavirus cabinet that we are in fact doing much better than European countries. And we just want to remind the Prime Minister that we went into the second lockdown and second wave before European countries did that. And also the good news this week that the bidud, the quarantine time, has been shortened from 14 days to 12 days. And hopefully by the end of the day, we will have a deal in place which will see us receiving 8 million jabbers of the Pfizer vaccine. So, you know, it's a kind of a mixed bag where we are with the COVID-19 virus. A lot of frustration from people now saying, you know, just open the malls. Open the gyms, you know, it's time. The lines or the queues to buy from high street shops were unbelievable on Sunday. You know, we're heading into winter. People want warm clothes. People want shoes. I, of course, want shoes, Howard. But phenomenal lines of people coming out to support and to get these small businesses going.
Yeah, and it hasn't been. It'll be interesting to see when this is all over, when Israel looks back on this and it does a critical analysis of the year, how it's going, how perspective will help, and what can be learned from that. Of course, before Israel has a chance to do that, they might be in another election. God forbid. Tell us about that.
Well, it seems to be a trend. I mean, it seems to be, if, you know, if it's Tuesday, it must be election. I mean, I wonder, yesterday it was announced that there's a possibility of the legalization of cannabis or doobie or whatever you want to call it within the next 9 months. I mean, it's obvious that Israel needs something to take the edge off. I'm Israel. How would I mean? I don't know. But it looks like we keep breaking out in elections. But this time it could be over one of two things. It's either going to be over the budget, because we apparently do have a budget that's ready to be passed. And Gantz has said to, or accused at least, Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Likud of stalling on this. And he said, you know, we can't put the country in a situation where we go into economic meltdown. And he's blamed them for this. And then the astounding news coming out last night that the Supreme Court might actually nullify the agreement which creates an alternate prime minister's office. And right now the coalition that was formed quite in haste, because we needed something to be done, because we're in this coronavirus crisis, this coalition was cobbled together with some sticky tape and some, you know, chewing gum we ate last week, and, you know, whatever they could find to bring it together so that we could have something that is functioning. But it's very important that budgets get passed. There are ministries, there are departments within government that are waiting for the important budget to be passed, including departments like social welfare and education. And we know that as the virus continues and it takes its toll, and the need for especially now social welfare and health and education is becoming greater and greater and greater. But last night the Supreme Court said, we might just nullify this rotation deal, and that will break the coalition apart anyway. So
did anybody really think that this rotation deal was going to work? I mean, surely there is not a person in Israel that thought this was ever going to actually happen.
That's a great, great question, because Benny Gantz, who is the alternate prime minister, who, according to the deal, next year should take over as the next prime minister, he himself has said, we don't have confidence that the terms of the rotation deal are going to be respected. We understand the situation that we are dealing with, and we don't think for a minute that it's going to be respected. And of course, a lot of conjecture.
But he agreed
at
to
the
it.
Moment
he agreed looking, to it. With all due respect he, to him, he agreed
he
to
agreed.
It. And, he knew then what he knows now. He knew exactly who he was making a deal with.
Well, exactly. And this cost him a lot of support in the country. People saying, we handed you our vote and all that you did was handed it over to the Likud. But of course, now a lot of speculation is what is actually going to happen to Netanyahu when the Biden administration comes into power. Is this going to weaken Netanyahu's stronghold over the premiership, given that he's also going to face his own legal trials coming up soon? And, the country also cannot be in a position where we don't have a leader.
So interesting.
And is this...
Yeah. Ronnie, before you even talk about Biden, just to go back one second about Benny Gantz, I think that this has been spectacularly successful for Netanyahu, because if this falls apart, Gantz is totally weakened. He's decimated. He's not seen, he cannot be seen as a strong and potential leader after this. He accepted a deal that was a poor deal that was never going to take place. Netanyahu was never going to relinquish power. Then it all dissolves. He sells his constituency out to Likud. There's no chance he can claw back any form of dignity and sense of power. I think this whole thing, ironically, has been better for Netanyahu, have been better for Netanyahu, who is a master survivor than it is Gantz. Just finishing sort of back on the domestic side before we even look at the Biden relationship.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, we cannot forget that when it comes to political chess, Prime Minister Netanyahu is the Garry Kasparov and then some. He is the master strategist. He's, he's Teflon Bibi, and his detractors are saying that maybe only now that the kind of de facto protection of Trump has been removed, that might impact on him. And you see the response to exactly what you've said if you look at the polls. The polls in support of the Blue and White and Benny Gantz have slipped tremendously, which is a pity, because Benny Gantz, as a person, as a leader, is incredibly respected amongst those who know him well and say, he's an incredibly dignified person. But I think that his naivety and his lack of political experience really, really shows when you go into dealing with Prime Minister Netanyahu, who knows every chess move. And yes, I have been watching the Queen's Gambit, hence the metaphor.
I think we're seeing so many chess metaphors creeping into everything. Lindy's also nodding. Lindy, have you also been watching it?
Yes, I have, and I'm
so
done.
So good. Are you finished?
Yes.
I'm not. I'm only on like episode 3 or 4.
And you were not even as disciplined as I was. You're watching till all hours of the night.
I know. I wasn't proud of myself. But I tell you
who is coming in with a sneaky move, and you guys can correct, because I actually don't know chess apart from, it's on a white and black checkered board, and there's some rooks and kings and queens and pawns, is Naftali Bennett. And Naftali Bennett is the real challenger to the premiership. If we had to go to elections tomorrow, we could be looking at Prime Minister Naftali Bennett.
Wow. Wow. That is interesting. We, even more so because he just never has done very well at the polls. He's always been this guy with such great potential, but never materialized.
Well, what has done it for him is the way that he handled the first wave of corona as the defense minister.
That is
and
true.
And that he seems to have it. And that he seems to have, you know, in times of a crisis, he seems to really come into his own and have it all figured out. But, you know, this is the fascinating things about Israeli politics is it's never, ever dull.
Yep, a little bit more dull would not do it any harm. It is 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a peaceful, happy and healthy one. Shabbat shalom. We'll catch you next week.